Hi there, and welcome to this computerweekly.com podcast on database as a service. It's the challenges it aims to meet and the key benefits. With me today, I have Tobias Ternström, who is VP and General Manager of Databases with Nutanix. Hi, Tobias.
Hey, Anthony. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure, Tobias. I'll get started with the first question, which is, what is database as a service and what challenges does it aim to solve? And I'm looking here for the types of issues that customers face with databases. So why as a service, I guess, is the big question. But over to you anyway.
Yeah, sure. It's a good question. Well, DBaaS or database as a service, it's really about automating lifecycle management of databases. So things like provisioning a new database server, patching fleet of database servers, making sure they're backed up, making sure they're highly available, making sure they're protected from various types of disaster, be it, operator fat fingering or meteorite hitting data center. And doing this typically not just in one location, but maybe both in your own data center, on the edge, or in one of multiple hybrid or one of multiple public clouds, if you will.
Thanks, Tobias. So what would you say are the key benefits of DBaaS? Over to you again.
Well, so I think database management has become more difficult over time because it used to be that, any organization had mainly one database engine. It's an Oracle shop or it's a SQL Server shop, Informix shop, DB2 or whatnot. But you go back about 10 or so years, this started changing. And instead of it being a corporate standard, it's much more developers and application frameworks that bring in the database. So now instead of just running one and maybe one or two on the side, if you will, they run multiple, right? So for example, the top five database engines in the world are SQL Server, Oracle, MySQL, Postgres, and Mongo. And all of those are run in, pick any big organization to run all of these databases and others. So having people that can manage all of these databases, especially when you're talking not even tens or hundreds, but thousands or tens of thousands of them, is very difficult. Like making sure they're secure and taken care of, if you will. So that is, I would say, the core challenge is DBAs are getting overloaded. DBAs really want to focus on the top five really, really critical databases in an organization. But instead, they end up having to be spread super thin across thousands of databases, different database engines, different versions, different operating systems. It becomes really difficult. So that, I would say, is the number one problem. It's just DBAs are getting overloaded in this new world. Second problem that at least we see a lot with our customers is developers are slowed down. So generally, pick any large organization, they typically have quite a lot of software developers employed. And basically every software developer will use databases both for testing, for evaluation purposes, and so on. And when they do that, they want to just self-service. They want to call an API or click a button and shit happens, as I like to say, like database shows up with whatever data they need and they can do their development. And today, what's very common is that they have to file a ticket or call a person and basically wait for this database to show up. And I say the final thing is there's a lot of movement away from proprietary databases, from expensive database licenses towards open source. And this basically means if you ran, 10,000 proprietary databases during a long period in years, you'll probably now run 10,000 open source databases also. So now you have to manage all of a sudden 20,000 databases. And in order to do that, you need some sort of automation because otherwise you need to double your DBA population. And it's, as you might know, it's very hard to actually hire DBAs today. So I'd say these are the three main challenges that we see. DBAs are overloaded, developers are slowed down, and there's a move away from proprietary databases towards open source.
Excellent. Thanks, Tobias. The next thing I was wondering about, Tobias, is there a sweet spot in terms of the use case and workload for DBaaS? Because I can imagine at the, you know, at the larger, more critical end of things, DBaaS might not necessarily work for an organization, but it might do in other areas. What do you think?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I would say it's not that it doesn't work. It depends on, you know, not every DBaaS is created equal, but let's say it's very good, if you will. It can handle large workloads. It's more, I think, about how much help the DBaaS provides, because the, you know, the fundamental thing that the DBaaS does is, again, automation around all of these areas we talked about. And when it comes to these most critical databases, this is where you will have a DBA team, right, that's focused on making sure that everything is where it needs to be. Although I will say that it depends on organizations. So if you look at, you know, the more experienced organization, if you will, the more of a chance that they have a DBA team taking care of things and that are focused on those most critical workloads. But the more it's a new company, right, that may have been small and now it's large, right, it's grown very fast, it's very often not the case, right, that they don't have this tradition of a DBA team. And then they will for sure rely on a DBaaS to take care also of the more critical databases. But it tends to be that, you know, the newer the app, the more databases it uses. So what used to be, you know, what an older critical app might have one gigantuan monolith database, whereas a new critical app might instead have 1,000 smaller databases for that one app.
Excellent answer. Thank you very much, Tobias. And that's all the time we have for today. So thank you once again, Tobias Ternström, VP and General Manager of Databases at Nutanix. And I'm Anthony Adshead, Storage Editor with Computer Weekly. Bye now.